For years, the World Bank classified the South Asian island nation of Sri Lanka as an upper middle income country. Many of its citizens lived relatively stable economic lives compared to neighboring countries in the region, this despite a decades-long and brutal civil war. But now, for the first time since its independence from British rule in 1948, Sri Lanka is facing an unprecedented economic crisis. Fuel is being rationed, schools are closing, and the Prime Minister says the economy is headed for rock bottom, while Sri Lankans have been demonstrating in the streets for weeks. The crisis comes as the dynastic Rajapaksa family's grip on power appears to be weakening. Krutika Patti is with the Associated Press and has been reporting on the story from Sri Lanka. She joins us now from Delhi. Krutika, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So medicine and food, among other important items, are running low for the island's 22 million people. Tell us what led to this crisis in Sri Lanka.
The pandemic and the Russia-Ukraine conflict have, of course, made things worse, but warnings of a potential economic meltdown began long before. In 2019, President Gotabaya Rajapaksa swept to power, you know, months after Easter suicide bombings that ended up killing 290 people. You know, the attacks badly damaged tourism at the time, a key source of foreign exchange, and Rajapaksa promised to pull Sri Lanka out of a deep economic slump and keep it safe. But just days into his presidency, he pushed through the largest tax cuts in Sri Lankan history. This not only shrunk state revenue, but it sparked quick punishment from the global market. The finance ministry said recently that Sri Lanka has only 25 million in usable foreign reserves. You know, that has left it without the wherewithal to pay for imports, let alone repay billions it owes in debt.
Krutika, you were in Colombo recently. What did you see there? Talk a little bit about sort of what you saw ordinary people dealing with, how they're managing, if at all.
The one thing that really stands out when you visit Colombo is the lines and lines of vehicles stretching miles. You know, I visited a vegetable market in Colombo and spoke to many people who said they've been forced to cut back on their groceries and meals because the price of food has surged so high. I think the latest figures for food inflation is at 57%. We met with a family in Sri Lanka who, up until now, never thought they would need to take rations from the government to make sure they had enough food. You know, this family is now burning firewood in their kitchen to cook instead of lining up for hours to get cooking gas.
Krutika, let me ask you a little bit about the ruling family. So Gotabaya Rajapaksa is the architect of these tax cuts that partially started this economic crisis, as you explained. Why is he still in power, and how stable is the family's rule right now?
So it really did seem like they had consolidated their grip on power in the country before the crisis. But in April, Sri Lanka's entire cabinet resigned over the crisis, and that saw the exit of three Rajapaksa relatives. Then in May, you had President Gotabaya Rajapaksa's brother, Mahinda, stepped down from his post as prime minister after his supporters attacked protesters amid days of violence in the heart of Colombo. But right now, other than the president, there is no one from the family holding any government positions. But for many of the island's Buddhist Sinhalese majority, you know, Gotabaya and Mahinda were seen as heroes for ending the country's 26-year-long civil war. Despite accusations of atrocities during the war, the family remained wildly popular and firmly on top of Sri Lankan politics. That is until the crisis.
Right.
This has really seen them unravel.
It's my understanding that the U.S. has just extended a new line of credit to Sri Lanka. Sri Lankan officials are also visiting Russia this week, looking for help. What's the future of Sri Lanka in terms of dealing with this crisis?
There's no clear answer out of this crisis. I mean, it's been over a month since Ranil Wickremesinghe took over as Prime Minister of Sri Lanka. You know, he has ample experience, seeing as the latest is actually his sixth term as Prime Minister. But still, he has a very daunting mandate to pull the country from completely collapsing. I mean, for now, Sri Lanka has been muddling through, mainly supported by a $4 billion credit line from neighboring India. But Wickremesinghe has warned repeatedly against expecting India to keep Sri Lanka afloat for long. The government has also sought more help from China. Other governments, like you mentioned, the US, Japan, and Australia have also provided, you know, a few hundred million dollars in extra support. But I think, you know, I think actually a recent headline in the country's Colombo Times newspaper puts it quite nicely. It read, Sri Lanka pins last hopes on IMF. Now, the government is in negotiations with the IMF on a bailout plan. And, you know, the prime minister said he expects to have a preliminary agreement with the IMF by late July. But, you know, so far, the projected funding barely scratches the surface of the $6 billion the country needs to stay afloat over the next 6 months.
Right. And so the crisis continues. That's Kritika Patti of the Associated Press talking to us from Delhi about the economic crisis in Sri Lanka. Kritika, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was lovely to speak with you.